In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the second Sunday of the Blessed Holy 50 Days, and as we all know, that the theme of the Holy 50 Days, the readings of the Church, they're all about Christ revealing Himself to us. So that's why you will find in every week, after Thomas Sunday, every week has something to say about I Am. So today, for example, we hear about Christ saying, I am the bread of life. And then the coming weeks, we'll hear about Him saying, I am the light of the world, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the resurrection. So all of these in order for us to know who is the resurrected Christ is. And today, the Church, in her wisdom, starts with this theme, I am the bread of life. And this is the highest virtue and faith that we hold. And our faith in Christianity, especially in this particular dogma, that we believe that we partake of Him, literally, Him who was crucified and resurrected, is not only an idea. It's not something that we entertain on the level of the intellect and we brag about, we knew something about God. Actually, this is the highest virtue that we do. And I will tell you in a minute how this kind of faith is not only a doctrine, but also a virtue. Maybe you will wonder how this is counted as a virtue. Maybe some of us will think virtue will be something like charity, love, being kind, being meek. But how can partaking of His body and blood be our highest virtue? Let us go and see and review the scripture. The first virtue while partaking of the body and blood of Christ is that we believe God. And maybe some of us will wonder, how believing God is a virtue? Actually, you can see how many people in this world, they do not believe God. And while we do not believe, while people do not believe God, they make Him a liar, as St. John said to us. Our knowledge about God comes from believing what He says about Himself, not what we think or make sense to us. This is a great deal of confusion that's now prevailing in our contemporary time, that people tend to think about God how they feel it makes sense. And that's why many people would come and say, God said, or God meant, or He is going to do this and this. And when you ask this particular person, what is your reference about this? There is no reference whatsoever, except what I think will make sense. So when we believe that God said, this is my body and my blood, then we believe what He said about Himself, what He reveals, not what we think. There is a false notion that's going around, not only in our time, but many, many years before, about being simple. As if like religion is something we make it up. And people say that you complicate things when you say you partake of the body and blood of Christ. Why not to say this is something like a symbol? It's something like make it simple to the people and just understand it's a metaphor. I like this quote by C.S. Lewis about symbol religion, that people sometimes tend to convince themselves that religion has to be symbol. He says, if Christianity was something we were making up, of course we could make it easier. Of course anyone can be symbol if he has no facts to bother about. Some other religions, they say that our religion is a religion of simplicity. It's very easy. You do good, you go to heaven, you go bad. You do bad, you go to hell. Heaven is just something you will entertain all of your lusts, and that's very simple. Everybody can understand this message. It is simple, but is it true? It is what people say, but is this God what actually God said? When we believe God, we imitate our father Abraham. That it was said about him when he believed God's promise, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness. Your righteousness and mine comes from believing God, not from what exactly what we do. And then there is a gap here that will arise between what God said and what God meant. Sometimes people say, okay, we will believe what God said, but did He mean it this way or not? Who will decide what God meant or not? If it is left to everyone, to decide and to determine what God meant in what He said, then we'll end up with what we have now, 30,000 denominations of Christianity, and everybody has the same Bible, and everybody is interpreting the Bible as he sees fit. Why? Because we are still not agreeing who will define what God meant and what He said. That's why we, as Orthodox, we believe in these two references. We take both of them at the same time to understand what God meant, the Church and the Bible. Always remember this. As I said, believing God is a virtue. If we do not believe God, it's not just He's not convincing. No, we are accusing Him of lying. St. John says in his first epistle, he who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. The second virtue, while we hold on this faith of knowing that Christ is truly the bread of life, is that we understand, we are showing our understanding of the prophecies of the Old Testament. Our understanding of the Old Testament is that this was the first story in this building, and we cannot go without it. We cannot just say we don't need it anymore. There are two symbols in the Old Testament, antitypes of Eucharist, namely the Passover lamb and the manna. The Passover lamb, there was two conditions in order for people to be saved. One, to take the blood and anoint the doorposts. And secondly, to eat from it. Not only the blood outside, but inside, people should be eating from it while they are keeping their house free from leaven. Leaven is the yeast. And yeast make the dough bigger than its original size. It go into every part, every particle of the dough. What is the meaning of this? The first meaning is, we are not only to be saved when we have the blood on the door saying, I am Christian, or I believe that Christ is my Redeemer. No, we have to have the blood outside our doors and we eat of the lamb inside our homes. This is what we do when we come to partake of the Eucharist. And also when we keep our lives free from yeast or the leaven is a symbol of sin, then when we come confessing and repenting, then we understand what this prophecy means. Away from interpreting the prophecy this way, the Old Testament has no meaning, has no value. And it is right to people to say, we don't believe in it. Simply, if it does not apply, then why we should believe in it? Why we should hold it as sacred? The second symbol is the manna. The manna is what sustained the people of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. Without it, the people cannot cross to the promised land. In the same way also, this is our manna, the body and blood. Without it, we cannot live, we cannot cross the wilderness of our sojourn here on earth. The third virtue is the virtue of acknowledging our shortcoming. How this applies when we come to take communion. The first step in being humble is to admit that I am proud and I have ego that I am struggling with. In order for us truly to show this humility in action, it is when we come to the church saying, I cannot be good on my own. I tried my best, it never worked. But I come here knowing that He is the one who is going to make me good. When I take of Him, I will come out from the church as a holy person, not because of my merits, but because of what He bestowed upon me. Partaking of the mysteries is a confession of not being able to be righteous on my own. If I choose to be away, not partaking and thinking that I can be good by being kind, charitable, actually I'm saying I don't need the sacrament to make me holy. I can be good on my own. I can be good at my home. People who say that I don't need the church to be holy says that the sacrament of the Eucharist is not important for our sanctification. I can make it to God, to heaven, on my own without the aid of the mystery. The fourth virtue is the virtue of offering thanksgiving. How this happens actually? How while we take communion we are offering thanksgiving? It is this, the name of the sacrament is called the sacrament of the Eucharist. What does it mean? I will give you a story that happened a few years ago with Sayyidina Abu Yusuf and a group of the people from the diocese who went to visit a small country in Africa. When they went there, they brought some kind of icon to the people there as a gift. So they handed the villagers this kind of icon as a gift from the diocese here. At the end of the trip, while Sayyidina and the group was leaving, the people from the village were running after the bus and they were trying to hand Sayyidina a gift. So they stopped the bus and they went to receive the gift from the symbol people who were living there. To their surprise, what was the gift? It was the same icon that he gave to them at the beginning of the trip. What does it mean? Actually, I asked why they are returning the icon. So the head of the people said to him, you know, Sayyidina, this was the most precious thing they have, the most expensive thing they ever held. That's why they couldn't find something more precious to give it to you except the gift that you give to them. This is exactly what happens with us when we partake of the Eucharist. We want to come and offer something to God. But what can we offer? Whatever we offer is not good enough. The best thing we can offer to Him is the thing that He gave to us. That's why we say to Him, we offer unto you what is yours. Because simply we have nothing else to give thanks with it except this one. Man has no precious gift to offer to God more than what God has already given to us, His body and His blood. Our appreciation is reflected when I come today and partake of the Eucharist. King David asked this question before. He said, what can I give to God in return of His goodness? What can I give back? Then he said what? I partake of the cup of salvation. This is the way I say to God, thank you, I appreciate what you have been doing in my life. The fifth virtue is when we come here to partake of the Eucharist, we are proclaiming His death and confessing His resurrection. This is what St. Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. This is our weekly evangelism. You wonder how this. We just come secretly among each other, just take faith. Nobody knows about this outside. But believe me, if I would say this is the best evangelism we could ever do, coming and partaking of the mysteries, acknowledging that His body and His blood, proclaiming to the whole world that we believe that He died, He rose, He gave us His body and His blood to eat and live by them. The sixth virtue is when I come and I partake of the mystery of the Eucharist, I accept to be united with everybody around me. That's why we cannot be one except through the Eucharist. St. Paul says to the Corinthians, for we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. That's what makes us united. So when I come today to partake, even if I don't know the whole assembly of the believers, but I accept to be united with each one of them. That's why if I am not reconciling with my brother or my sister, I cannot take of the Eucharist, simply because I would be lying to God. I would say to Him, I accept to be united with everyone, but I turn my face to the other side whenever I see my brother that I'm not pleased, I'm not happy with. Look here, when we do something that we don't understand, we are insulting God and making a lie in His face. I come to the Eucharist to partake while I am determined not to say hi or shake hand with another person in the church. How can this happen? If I practice this, knowing and understanding this, we wouldn't dare to do something like that. When we can come and partake, we acknowledge that we are all one, we are all united. Even with disagreement, even with dislikes, this is not going to hinder us from being in peace with one another, wishing the best for every member in the body of Christ. The last virtue that we show and manifest when we partake of this, the Eucharist, the bread of life, that we are showing understanding of the nature of God. St. John says to us a fact about God. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So the importance of repentance here and examining ourselves comes from what? Comes from the fact that I know whom God is. He is light. I cannot walk in darkness outside. and come and partake of him as if nothing is happening. By doing this, either I don't understand his nature or I'm underestimating the sacredness of the mystery. We understand the nature of God. That's why when we come to partake of it, we have to repent. St. Paul says this very clearly to the Corinthians in his first epistle, chapter 11. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What does it mean, not discerning the Lord's body? I don't understand whom God is and what is his nature. I cannot just live in sin intentionally, with determination and with no repentance, and I come and say, I will come to eat and this will be a blessing. This doesn't work this way. All of these seven virtues, we practice them just by believing that he is true body. This is a true body and this is the true blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us review them today and keep this in our minds, that our faith about the Eucharist is not just a doctrine, an idea, but also it is our highest virtue. When we believe that he is the bread of life, we believe God, we understand the prophecies, we acknowledge our shortcomings, we offer thanksgiving, we proclaim his death, accept unity with other members, and understand, showing our understanding of the nature of God. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.